And specifically, we're going to be looking at godly leadership. As husbands and fathers, it is our God-given duty, it is our God-given responsibility to be leaders in our homes, and for many reasons that we're going to kind of look at this morning. And I've kind of been on multiple topics this week, so if something here you hear this morning sounds somewhat familiar, it's kind of running together in my mind and tried to pull some new stuff together this morning. But some of it will be familiar to you that you've heard over the past few weeks. But there is a huge difference between the natural man being a leader and the spiritual man being a leader in the home. I want you to get your minds going for a moment. Take a minute to think of someone who you would consider to be a really good leader. Okay, wherever it may be within the church or in your work center, and think about that person. And then I'm sure also you could put in your mind someone who was not a very good leader that you have been under or that you've just seen on TV. We see lots of leaders on TV, and there are some good ones and some bad ones. But who pops into your head? All right, everybody can go through their mind and see that there's good leaders out there and there's bad leaders out there. I mean, we've all really had experience with both on the good and bad leaders. Being in the military for 15 years, there were lots of leaders, and there were a lot of people who wanted to be leaders that we were surrounded with, and there were plenty of good leaders and bad leaders. And once you hit a certain rank in the military, you're kind of forced to be a leader just by the rank that you carry. And sometimes that's good, but sometimes that's not so good because you have people in here who are leading that really do not need to be leading. And one of my jobs was to take my airmen and teach them to be a good leader. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is being a good leader. Sometimes it comes natural to people. It just kind of flows, and you just think, wow, that's a really good leader. And sometimes it's natural, but sometimes people have to really work at being a leader. We're going to talk about that this morning. We all probably fall into one of these categories, but again, as husbands and fathers, we must lead our families, all right? We can't worry about the who, what, when, and where of how we're going to do this, because you see, we have been given instruction manual within God's Word that can instruct us and guide us in how to be godly leaders, and we have the perfect example that we can follow in Christ Jesus. And you know also, you can just look through Scripture and see many great leaders that are within Scripture and look at the example that they have to follow with them as well. All right. But we're talking about these two types of leaders. So what do these two types of leaders look like? All right, we're going to go through some of these. We're going to look at the natural man. And on the other side, we're going to look at the spiritual man, just to get in our minds the two different types of leaders that there are out there. And then we're going to go into more detail talking about the spiritual man and the leadership. So we have the natural man versus the spiritual man. Okay, first of all, we have the natural man is self-confident. He's confident in himself. He thinks he can get the job done, doesn't really need anybody to help him or guide him along, right? And there's probably some out there that can do a really good job on their own, right? But this is the natural man. Now, the spiritual man has confidence in God, trusting God, putting their confidence in him, and this is what I want, because I know that I can't do things of my own, and I've learned this over the years, and now put my confidence in God and the Spirit to work in my heart and in my life to do this thing. Can y'all read that? I might have made those too small. All right, so you have self-confident versus the spiritual man who is confident in God. All right, the natural man, he knows men, okay? He gets things done by knowing men and out there playing the game of sucking people in and trying to put themselves in the position to get people to know them, all right, so that they can gain leadership in that. Now, the spiritual man, he knows men too, but he also knows God, all right? And this can help because you can put your trust in God to allow the Lord to lead you where he wants you to go as you become a more spiritual leader. And to be that spiritual leader, we know that it's key to know God and allow him to live and work in our lives, all right? The natural man makes his own decisions, does what he wants. He thinks he knows what is right. But in the end, it could lead to bad things, all right? Now, that could be the same for us as well as a spiritual man. But for us, we seek to find and know God's will. All right, there's a big difference in trusting in yourself, thinking you've got it all together, versus going to the Word, looking through Scripture, and finding out what God's will is for you. All right, and Dan has done teachings through Sunday school about God's will that you can go back through and listen to those and get a good understanding of that. And just looking to the Word and finding out what God's will is for you. All right. Also, the natural man is ambitious, right? Having a strong self-desire and a great determination to succeed in everything that he does, all right? He is ambitious. Spiritual man, self-effacing, this is to erase self, all right, or make one inconspicuous, not kind of taking yourself out of the picture, all right? It's not about you, all right, where the natural man is going to put himself up on a pedestal. The spiritual man is not going to do that. He's going to sit back and just let God do the work and give glory to God for that. All right? The natural man is going to originate his own methods, come up with his own ideas for this, where the spiritual man is going to find and follow God's methods. Again, where do we get these methods? We get them from his Word. Looking to the truth that he has given us. All right, the natural man enjoys commanding others. All right, enjoys being there at the top, enjoys bossing people around, even to the point of maybe abusing people underneath him. All right, it's not a good leader. All right, the spiritual man delights to obey God. All right, and he's going to lead over people in a positive way. All right, that we're going to look at. In more detail. The natural man's motivated by personal considerations, all right? What he wants, thinking about himself, where the spiritual man is going to be motivated by love for God and a love for man, all right? And then last, the natural man is independent. Again, thinking he doesn't need anybody, he can do this on his own. Seen a lot of leaders out there that just think they've got it completely together, don't need anybody's help, but that's the natural man. And then the spiritual man is God-dependent. We are dependent on God in everything that we do, all right? Whether it's in the small leadership position or whether it's in a big leadership position, all right? We need to be dependent on God, all right? Because God is going to be the one that will help to pull us through, all right? Now, when you look at the natural man's list, you're probably going to notice that list comes pretty easily. Why is this, why would that natural man list come pretty easily?
Well, you can say that it comes easily, but not many people are very good at all that. But I guess what I want to say is, flow from spiritual man to natural man, it doesn't flow well the other way.
Right. I guess I'm looking at a lot of these. When you look at the natural man, and within some of these, you see a lot of sin, of selfishness. You see a lot of pride. And I guess, yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at there. Those things come natural. Again, leading may not come natural, but some of the things that are in these does come natural. It's filled with sinful desires. And that would be the worldly way of leading, is those on the left side there. All right. Now, Christ's way of leading is very different from the worldly way of leadership that we so often see today. When it comes to marriage, I'll let you in on a little secret. Poor leadership is the cause of all kinds of conflicts within marriage. Would you agree with that? Poor leadership is the cause of all kinds of conflicts within marriage, right? If you think about your finances, if you're the husband, father, and you have your finances and you're not being responsible in that area, you're not leading out and making wise decisions with those finances, all right, there can come conflict, all right? Because the finances could go south, things are not good, so that could bring conflict, all right? Raising your children. We should be leading out raising our children. If we're not, if we have poor leadership skills in that area, children could be going crazy, wife's not completely understanding what she needs to do, and you're just kind of sitting back not being the leader. This is going to cause conflict, all right? So poor leadership is the cause of all kinds of conflict within marriage. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. First Peter 5, 2 and 3 says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." All right, now you might be saying, wait a minute, Chris, that's talking about elders, shepherding. All right, this is written to elders. And that may be true, but we're going to look even later at the qualifications of an elder or an overseer and apply that to your life too. And I'll explain more a little bit later why we're going to do that. But if you're a husband that is using your own method of leadership, coming up with your own way to do things, you're accomplishing your own goals, all right, getting your own gain through your leadership, your leadership is allowing you to lord over your spouse, over your children, or just allowing you to be irresponsible in your type of leadership, all right, you're wrong. And you're not following the example that we find in 1 Peter 5. What did we see in 1 Peter 5? Well, let's look at it again. Okay, whoops. Did you beat me to it? Sorry. All right, so we'll look at this again. It says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." Okay? We need to have oversight over this, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. All right? So what do we not want to do? We not for shameful gain. All right? Eagerly, but not domineering over those in charge. Okay? We have to do this in a proper way. And we need to be examples to the flock. Okay? And we're going to talk a lot about being an example when we get to one of the points of shepherding. All right? So this is what we see in here. Now, the qualities of Christ-like leadership are something that we must grab a hold of. Okay, we have to understand them, and we have to live by them. All right, we've been learning about godly manhood and fatherhood and husbanding over the past 7 weeks. And what have you done with that? Okay, I'm not saying you haven't. I'm just asking, what have you done with that, or have you? All right, do we come in and we listen to the message and say, oh, that's really good, I need to do that, and then do we put it to practice, or do we kind of walk out the door and forget what we just learned, all right? Come back the next week and hear something, get excited about it, and walk out the door, all right? We can't do that. We have to honor God by using the authority that we have been given in the way that He intended, all right? And we've learned about some of those things over the past several weeks, all right? Now, you might ask, do I really have to lead? Am I really the one that has to take charge in doing this, all right? Just in case you've missed it the past few weeks, let me read to you from Ephesians 5, 23 through 24, because God is very clear that it is not an option, but that you are required to lead as men, okay, in your family. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." All right, there you have it. There should be no question as if to if it is the husband's responsibility to lead. All right, it's laid out plainly right there. And we can go to other passages, but we've hit those quite a bit over the past few weeks. All right, well, why are men given the responsibility? Why did God do that? Okay, my simple answer is because He wanted to. All right, that's the way God designed it. He can do whatever He wants to, and that's the way He has laid it out for us. And we just have to realize that that is what He has laid out. And one day we will be held responsible for how we handle being a husband and how we respond to the responsibilities that He has given us. All right, And how faithful have you been? All right, ask that question this morning. We've learned a lot over the past 7 weeks. Are we being faithful to that, continuing on and not backing away from that? All right. So why do we need to be in authority? Right? What purpose do we have as husbands to be in authority? All right, we're going to look at some of these. These are purposes for our authority. I'll give you a few of these. All right, the first one you see there, if you can see it, to help others see how God leads His people. All right, you are being watched. All right, here in church as you interact with your family, and even more, you're being watched at home. As you interact with your wife, she's being observant, I promise you, on how you are handling yourself and how you are leading your family, all right? And I also promise you that your children are watching you, okay? How are you leading, all right? Are you being the example that God has called you to be in leading your family, all right? We're going to talk a little more about leading in a bit, all right? Another purpose is to guide your family in righteousness, all right? We need to, ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit who works in the lives of our wives and the lives of our children, but we are being used as a tool in their lives to help lead them into righteousness, all right? And Dan has gone over last week, I believe, discipling your wife, okay? Great information there that you can go back to listen to, all right? Also, to give a sense of order and stability in the home, all right? God is not a God of chaos and disaster. He's a God of order, and we need to have order within our homes, all right? If we don't have authority in our homes, things can go crazy, all right? And God has placed us in that position to do that. If you don't think that you need to be the husband you need to be and create order within a home, just leave your kids home for a week by themselves and see how that turns out, okay? You're going to get chaos, all right? Even when you are home sometimes, there's chaos, all right? But you're there to help them, all right, and guide them through. All right? Also, to provide what is needed for the family, to protect the family, all right? We're there to provide spiritual needs. We're there to provide physical needs. We're there to accomplish ministry for God more effectively, okay? Accomplish the ministry of God more effectively, to continue to lead our families, all right? That is our ministry as husbands, is our family, all right? And hopefully we're doing that effectively for the Lord. And as we learn these things, we'll continue to do it more effectively. Then to help the family be a good witness to the world, all right? As we're at home doing these things, exercising the godly authority over our families, hopefully the world will see the difference within our families, all right? Just like hopefully the world, as we are out and about, people see a difference in us. As we lead a godly home, I hope that they will see the difference in your children. And they'll maybe even ask why they are different, and it's a great opportunity to witness to them through that way, all right? Now, you can look at this list and see Christ all over this list and how He exercised His authority. And I've said before that Christ is the perfect example that we need to follow. He was, in fact, the perfect human example of leadership. And if you follow His example, I promise you, you won't go wrong, all right? Because He was the perfect example, and we can follow Him, all right? Now, if you're familiar with John 10, you will remember that He calls Himself the Good Shepherd, all right? This is a great example of leadership to understand what a shepherd is. And therefore, should we not also be following the example of Christ being our shepherd, and we should be that shepherd within our home, all right? Now you're saying, wait a minute, there you go, talking about elder stuff again, shepherding and watching over your flock. Well, we as husbands are a type of shepherds to our families, all right? This is what God has called us to. And I really love the term shepherd, all right? As I've been going through elders and training this past year, we've had to study the various titles of eldership within the church and the different meanings of these. All right, and there's been a lot that you hear. You hear pastor, you hear elder, overseer, all these things. But one of them is a shepherd. All right, we don't hear that one much. We don't walk around saying, "Good morning, Shepherd Dan." Or, you know, we call him Dan, Pastor Dan, but we don't hear that term shepherd a lot being used. But there is much beauty that goes along with the term shepherd. When you think of a biblical image of shepherd, you see the shepherd caring for his flock. He's usually standing hours watching over his flock. He is ensuring that his flock is safe. He's leading them to fresh pastures and clean water. And when one of the sheep are injured, what does he do? Carries it. Okay. What does he do when one of the sheep go missing? He goes looking. He goes to find it. He helps to heal the wounded sheep, the sick sheep. So you have this beautiful picture here. The image of the Palestinian shepherd is characterized by intimacy, tenderness, concern, skill. All right, you have to have some skill, and that's what we're learning here. But also hard work. All right, and that's the same for us as fathers. We know that it's not easy being a husband. It's not easy fathering our children. All right, so there's hard work, and there's suffering, and there's love. Derek Tidball says it like this: being a shepherd is a subtle blend of authority and care, as much toughness as tenderness, and as much courage as comfort. And this is a precious thought. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his sake." The image of a shepherd. It's a wonderful picture and one that we should look to. All right. Now, what is our goal as believers? What is our ultimate goal as believers? To be what? To be Christ-like. Correct. All right. So if Christ is a shepherd to us, then it makes sense that we should be shepherds to those of him who we lead, because we are to be the example that he is to us. 1 John 2:6 says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." All right. I'm going to read a quote from Exemplary Husbands, where I pulled a lot of stuff from this morning. But just read a quote out of this. Thought it was good. It says, "The word shepherd brings our leadership into perspective. We are not kings, high above our wives, but actually lowly under-shepherds, doing the bidding of the chief shepherd. Yes, we do have authority to make decisions, but authority is not the goal. Authority is a means to an end, God's end. It is the means by which we care for our wives and do God's will. Furthermore, it is only one aspect of our relationship with our wives. We are also partners and companions. Most men dwell on their authority too much. Authority is something that you exercise when you have to. I've heard it said that our perspective should not be that we love to rule, but that we rule to love. Shepherding, on the other hand, is something you should always have in the forefront of your minds, because it implies complete and daily care, whatever that may entail." All right, then he goes on to take a closer look at what these examples are. All right. So what are some qualities of a good leader? We know what a bad leader is. We know what a good leader is. But what are some qualities of a good leader, of the shepherd? All right. We're going to look at 10 or 11 of these. All right. First one, the shepherd knows where he is going. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." All right. As a shepherd, are you looking to your own will? All right. Where you want to go? Or are you looking to the Lord's will for your family? See, the shepherd must know where he is going if he is going to lead his flock to the destination. All right. He has to have a plan. He has to have a roadmap. This is not man's plan, but it's God's plan, all right? And he has a plan for each of your families, and it's plain within his word. Okay, we can't be changing our minds all the time, going from one wishy-washy thing to another, all right? Unless we're going from something that maybe wasn't correct to growing in Christ and learning some new things and ways that we can better shepherd our family. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. All right, we have the written word down for us to use. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed, and it's not going to. So as we get into his word and learn more, we can see the direction he wants us to go, and it's not going to change. All right, we have to be informed in our decisions. We have to be purposeful in the decisions that we make. And we have to be following the will of the Lord and doing it all for his glory. But to do this, we have to be men of the Word, and we have to be men of prayer. Are you reading the Word, husbands? Okay. And the second question, are you reading the Word purposefully? All right. It's easy to get up in the morning and get your 10 chapters or whatever reading plan you might be doing and skim through that and check that box off. But are you reading through the Scripture with a purpose? Seeing what the Lord might be teaching you that day, all right? If we're looking close, we will see things in the Word that will help us, all right? If we're struggling, we read the Word, God will pull things out that can help us through this, okay? Are you praying and seeking direction for you and your family, all right? Again, are you just praying just to be mumbling words? We know we're not supposed to do that. Okay, are you praying specifically for things in your family? You know more than anybody the struggles that your family's going through. All right, are you specifically praying for them? All right, praying that the Lord would change your heart and change your leadership habits. All right, we can't be lazy in our leadership. And this is, for me, it's an easy way to be lazy is to get into the habit of not reading my word and not praying. But we have to do that. We have to put in the effort and seeking direction from our families, all right? And that direction coming from the word of God. I've mentioned in the past few weeks Joshua 1:8 in earlier lessons, but it's always a good reminder to go back and be reminded of that. It's good to know if we're where we're going, if we're headed in the right direction. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. All right? So we can't let these words just fly away. We can't let what we're learning this morning fly away. All right? You can get something out of this lesson this morning and take away. All right? But you want to know where to go, you want to know what direction to take your family, then you have to be a man of the word and you have to be a man of prayer. Secondly, a shepherd knows how to lead lovingly. Dan recently laid out for us actions that we can take to love our wives. The shepherd will love and care for his wife at all times. The shepherd will love and care for his children at all times. He will care for his children even in the difficult times, all right? The shepherd will love and look after his sheep because they are his and he cares for them, all right? If the shepherd in our family is showing love, then are we doing that, all right? If taking our family to Scripture is a way of showing love to our family, are we doing this? If praying for our family, if praying with our family is a way of showing love to our family, are we doing this? If correcting our children and our spouse when needed, if that's a way of showing love, just ask yourself, how much am I loving my wife? Shepherd knows how to lead lovingly. Number three, a shepherd leads by example. This is a big one, all right? This is big in my book anyway. It says, if you're going to be a good shepherd, then you must lead by example. All right, you must lead by example. Christ was always leading by example. Every time you turn around, you can see him leading by example. Everything that he said matched what he did, and everything he did matched what he said. There was no hypocrisy with Christ. Same should be true of us. Do you lead by example, or could you be tagged as a hypocrite? No one wants to follow a hypocrite. How are you leading? Okay. They say that actions speak louder than words, and it's very true. The family is not going to want to follow somebody who's preaching and telling them about Scripture and then turning around and doing the complete opposite thing, all right? Yeah, he really believes that Bible stuff, doesn't he? All right? We have to be doing what we are saying. There needs to be a matchup of what we say and what we do. So how are you doing with that? Are you leading by example? Are you telling your children, hey, you don't need to be watching these movies? And then you close your door and you watch these movies. Or you don't need to be listening to this type of music, and then you listen to that type of music. Okay? How about this? That's an ugly way to talk. You don't need to be yelling and screaming like that or talking down to your brother. And then do we turn around to our wives and we start talking down to them or getting ugly and yelling with them? All right? How are we doing example-wise in that area? All right? These things say a lot. All right, what does it look like to lead by example, a good example? All right, turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3. All right, this is it. This qualifications for an elder, overseer. But we're going to read through it and apply it to us this morning. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, "This saying is trustworthy. If anybody aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for his church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, that he may not fall into disgrace and snare into the snare of the devil." All right. So what does this have to do with me? I don't desire to be an elder, don't want to do that, so why are we looking at this particular passage, all right? I was excited, he pulls this out in his book, and I was thinking about, reading through the chapters, thinking about this, these qualifications here before I actually turned the page and saw them, so I was excited that he brought that out too, so I felt more comfortable bringing it to you, all right? Now when you look at this list, we see all of the qualifications of what we want and should see within the elders of the church, all right? But should we not also, as men of the church, strive to help be held up to these qualifications, okay, or these characteristics in our lives, all right? Should we not all strive to be above reproach, okay? We're going to look at all these into detail, but there are two specific qualifications in here to church leadership, and one is that you must not be a recent convert, and you must be able to teach. Okay, those are specific to leadership in the church, but the rest of these, you and I and every other Christian man should want to be. All right, these things we should be teaching our sons. Okay, and hopefully we're being the example of this to them. All right, so let's look through some of these. The first one is, I don't have these up here. They're in your Bible. All right. First one is above reproach, all right, that we come across. We should be blameless in our lives, okay? You shouldn't be playing with sin. You shouldn't be practicing sin, all right? We are to be holy just as Christ was holy. If you were accused of, I don't know what. So they came to you and you were accused of something, would they have the evidence to hold that against you, all right? Or would the evidence to prove you guilty, or would they come with nothing, more than an accusation, okay? We have to be above reproach, all right? We also have to be the husband of one wife. This means that you are married to one woman, all right? You are to be faithful to that one woman. You're not to be cheating on your wives. You're to be keeping your mind pure, not lusting after other women, all right? Your wife is it. That is who God gave you, all right? So faithful in our minds and faithful in our actions, all right? Husband of one wife. Third one is we need to be sober-minded. We need to be in touch with reality. We need to have sound judgment, all right? We need to be alert to what is around us all the time, all right? We need to be self-controlled, all right? We need to have control over ourselves, all right? We're not flying off at the handle at every little thing. When we're tempted with sin, we know how to fight that sin. We can have the control not to dive into that sin and live in sin, all right? This person is well composed, all right? Just has control of himself. Also, he is to be respectable. All right, he is orderly. He's not scatterbrained. Can't get things figured out. He doesn't go around acting immature. All right, he's a mature person. He has things together, and he's modest. All right, next is hospitable. He's a friend to people. People like him. People want to be around him. All right, he has people in his home. People invite him over to their home. All right. He's hospitable. He's not a drunkard, all right? Moderate and self-controlled, all right? Basically, he's not a drunk, all right? Number 8, he's not violent. He is slow to anger. He doesn't fly off the handle. You don't see this guy throwing things around, kicking things. he is self-controlled, slow to anger, all right? He's acting in love. He's not acting violently. He is a gentleman. All right, people feel comfortable coming to him because they know that he's not going to fly off the handle with him. All right, he's not quarrelsome. He's not looking for a fight. All right, he has self-control. All right, and when things are brought to him, he doesn't get all out of control to trying to defend himself. All right, he's not looking for a fight. He also is not a lover of money. All right, what's important in your life? Okay. Is money more important than other things? Or is Christ more important? All right, 11, he has to manage his household well. Takes care of things around the house. Looks after his family. He leads them lovingly. He's not pushing them in a negative way, looking down on them, talking down to them. All right. So he manages his household well. And then keeping his children submissive. Do your children obey you? At least most of the time. All right, do they respect you enough to follow you? Training up, disciplining, discipling our children. This is all important, part of keeping our children submissive. All right. So these are the qualifications of the elders and overseers, but also they're characteristics that we all should move to as believers, all right? This is the example that we should follow, all right? When people look at us, are we being a godly example? Are we following this list here and keeping to this list, all right? Next, the shepherd knows how to oversee, all right? This is done with love. This is done with patience, all right? Not lording it over them. This is not being harsh. All right. Now, this is hard with our children a lot of times, being patient. All right. And when you ask for patience, God will give you patience. But you have to ask. All right. You're not to be the driving force behind all that they do by trying to control them. All right. You're to be there to lead them. You're to be there to guide them and bring them through life. You're there to give oversight, all right? And this has to be done with gentleness. This has to be done with love and, again, with patience. If you're lording over your family, then you need to take a look at your motives. Are you all about yourself? Do you need to control every situation that's going on within the house? Are you micromanaging your home? If you are, this is not love. It's not being a good overseer. There needs to be patience. There needs to be self-control. There needs to be humility within the home. And we see these things so often within our Lord. Well, I guess we see them all the time within our Lord. Okay, remember 1 Peter 5, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, not lording it over them, allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples of the flock. All right, so a shepherd knows how to oversee his family. All right, 5, a shepherd is involved. Are you involved in the lives of your family? Are you involved in your wife's life? Are you involved in the life of your children? All right, do you keep to yourselves and let your wife take the lead? Do you know your children? Do you know your wife? Do you know where they are in life and where they might be struggling? I've been caught on this a few times. Wife starts talking about things and I'm just like clueless. Like, where did that come from? And it's been going on for a while. All right. How much are we involved in our kids' lives and talking to our wives and keeping up with our children? All right. Are we too busy with our own life, our own jobs, our own hobbies to be involved in the life of our family? Christ was deeply involved with the lives of those he was around. What would happen if the shepherd out in the pasture was always being about himself? Could turn out bad. He'd be held for responsible for what would happen to those sheep. And the same will be for you and me, as we will be held accountable for our actions or for our lack of involvement with our families. We've been so blessed with the wives that we've been given. We've been so blessed with the children that we have given. Why would we not want to be involved in their lives? We shouldn't throw that away by being all about ourselves. We need to get involved in leading our family. We need to get involved in caring for them and shepherding them. Next, the shepherd is diligent in his responsibilities. It's easy to become lazy, like I said earlier, and allow others to take care of the responsibilities for you, whether it's your wife, whether it's other parents in the church, leaders in the church, Sunday school teachers, but we have to be diligent as husbands. All right? They are good to come alongside of you and help you in this responsibility, but it is your responsibility to take the lead of your family, and we should do it diligently. It should be a great joy to lead our families, to help them in the decisions of life. It's a great joy to bring truth to them, all right, opening the Word with them on a regular basis. We should be eager to do this. How are they going to be saved if the Word is not brought to them? And we should have joy in doing that, knowing that the Lord can work powerfully in their lives. And how are they going to grow in their walk in the Lord? Maybe your children get saved, but we have a responsibility to disciple our children, being diligent in doing that. All right. So we should be excited to lead our families and see the Lord work. Don't leave it to your wife or other people that are around. We need to do that ourselves. All right. Number 7, a shepherd protects. John 10:11-13 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So there's a lot of dangers out there that can hurt our wives, and there's a lot of dangers that can hurt our children. We as husbands need to be shepherding and ready to jump in at a moment's notice. All right, we need to not only protect them, but we need to be aware of how we are leading and where we are leading them into, so that they're not leading them into dangerous situations. All right. Some areas that we can protect them from would be included in the music that they listen to. All right. Do you know what your kids are listening to? All right. And if it's not good, we need to be trying to direct them away from that and helping them to see what is wrong with that. All right. The movies that they watch, the friendships that they're keeping. All right. If you're not sure what friendship they should have, get the sermon from last Sunday night, all right? And it'll tell you what you need to look for in a friend, all right? What are they reading? Are they reading the Word? Are they only reading trash books, whatever's out there, all right? Help them with that. Are they being tempted with particular sins in their lives? Do you know that? Are you helping to guide them through that? Are you giving them scripture to look to when these temptations come that can help them through that? All right. Are they believing in heresies? All right. Talk about the Word with them. Find out what they believe. Make sure they're heading down the right track. All right. And never knowingly put your family in harm's way. All right. Never purposely do that. All right, number 8, a shepherd provides. Make sure they're provided for. Okay, this can be pretty simple. Make sure they have food. Make sure they have clothing. Make sure they have a warm place to stay, a safe environment. Christ has always provided for your needs, and it's always looking out for what is best for you, and you should do nothing less for your family. All right? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." All right? So are you making sure your family is getting what they need? Physically, spiritually? Are you making sure your wife gets rest that she needs? All right? Taking care of a lot of kids can wear her out. Are you giving her time and time to have some rest? All right? And you've obviously provided a good church that you're bringing them to, but we have to continue to have spiritual oversight provided for them as well. All right, number 9, a shepherd instructs. Now, this area can take time and can be pushed aside very easily. We have to be there to instruct our families. There's much that we can feed them in the things of the Lord. You won't see a good shepherd just walking around with his sheep and just letting them wander all over wherever they want. He is leading them. He's giving them instruction. He's giving them guidance. All right, this can happen in with family worship that we talked about several weeks ago. This can happen while we're taking a walk on this beautiful day. Might be short. There's Sunday school lessons that we can go over. There's sermons that we hear that we can go over. The Word of God, open up and read the Word of God. We can use this to instruct. You can't go wrong with that, and it'll instruct you as well. So take the opportunities to instruct our children every chance that we can get. All right, number 10. A shepherd corrects. This can be hard to do, all right, but will at times need to be done. It can be one of the most, it may not be one of the most pleasant things that you can do, but it can be extremely loving, and it can be what is best for your family, all right. If you do this and you're showing that you care, and hopefully they will see that you care by your actions, all right. Remember that this has to be done with grace, it has to be done with love, and we have to use the Word of God when we go to correct someone, all right? Don't pull wisdom from your own self. We need to make sure that the wisdom that we're bringing to them is pulled of God, or pulled from God's Word, all right? We also, when we go to correct somebody, we need to make sure that there is actually clear sin in their life, okay? Do we see clear sin there? If we do, then we can go to them, but we have to do it with love, all right? This can be hard and to do just because we have to confront those that we love, all right? And we have to get them back on track, but this should be something that we want to do. We don't want to see them falling down the wrong path and continuing on in this, all right? There may be times when this is taken well and we see quick repentance, all right, but there also may be times when it takes a bit longer, all right? It may take a lot of prayer, a lot of effort, and continually going to your spouse or your children to help get them back on the right track, to see where there is sin in their lives and hopefully help to correct them, all right? But when times like this happen, it should be bathed in prayer, all right? And when we go, make sure we don't have that plank in our own eye, all right, because they could see that, and that's not going to be taken very well. And then it may come to the point that church discipline is needed that we find in Matthew 18, all right? But again, this can be very difficult and seem heavy to do, but God's grace is sufficient for you and will help you as you do that and restore or correct. Uh-oh, did I not have 11? Number 11, a shepherd seeks to restore his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, he restores my soul. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. All right? And whatever we need to do, we should seek to fully restore our family to full health. And we have to do everything that we can possible to do that. All right? As a shepherd, you will see them compassionately receive and help the lamb that is willing to receive help. And we should be the same with our families when we're trying to restore them. All right. So these are 11 points of a good shepherd. My question to you this morning is, are we leading our families in this way? All right. Are we leading them according to God's word? All right. If not, are we doing anything to change that and make sure that we continue on leading our families like we need to? All right. I trust that you are. Trust you're taking these things and thinking about them, continuing to study more on these, and being the men of God that God has called you to do, and being the shepherds that we need to be for our families. So we're out of time. I'll go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your perfect example of leadership. We thank you that you are patient with us, that you are loving toward us, gracious. And I pray that we would see that example throughout your word and that we would follow that example in our own lives as we lead and we shepherd our family, Lord, as we shepherd our wives, our children. I pray that we would be faithful in that, Lord. And when we struggle, I pray that we would get into your word and just be renewed, Father, by your word. And just find others in the church that can help us to be strengthened when we're struggling and help us to pull us through any tough times we might be going through, Lord. The importance of us leading our family is great, and we need to be there every opportunity that we can to lead them in the way that you have called us to. And I pray again, Lord, that we would be faithful in that. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.